You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
Well, that brings the time to just on 4 minutes past four, and the highlight of my life is about to take place. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, Richard. I'm so glad you're excited again about our life, love, and what are you going to call it? Chop suey today.
Mm.
Okay, well, it's fruit salad.
Sweet and sour pork.
Yeah, well, that's kosher. As long as it's kosher, it's fine. Not so.
What can it be?
It can be. It can be if you decide it to be.
Okay. All right.
Because there are people that decide that.
There are.
Believe me. They are.
All right. So here you are. And while you're here, you may as well talk because, you know, I'm not going to get rid of you until, you know, the next.
Until I leave.
Yeah. So let's endure this. Anatomy of a midlife crisis. What's your point?
My point is, a little bit defensive there. My point is that when you say midlife crisis to somebody, they go, and they start rolling their eyes and they start looking at this guy and they go, oh, yeah. So I thought it would be really interesting today to talk about the anatomy of the midlife crisis and find out what is a midlife crisis anyway. What is it about? What is it? What happens? Is it positive? Is it a negative thing? Is it something that we can handle? And when we go into it, how do we handle it? Either positively or negatively. If it's a positive thing, fantastic. How do we create more out of it, and all that kind of stuff? But if you're generally in conversation, if you're talking to somebody and you say, "Oh, I'm going through a midlife crisis," what does it actually mean? Okay, so. The definition of a midlife crisis is a period of transition in life where someone struggles with their identity, their purpose, and their self-confidence. So that's pretty much what a definition, sort of a wide definition. And it happens anywhere between 40 years old and 60 years old, and it could even happen at 35, research says. So, you know, let's say 40 years old to 60. And it affects men and women. It's not just something that affects men. So women go through this stuff as well. And a midlife crisis is not a disorder. It's not a mental disorder or anything. It's just quite a normal thing. And it's mainly psychological. So it's not a sickness or anything. It's just stuff we go through as people. Okay, so is there such a thing as a midlife crisis? Well, yes, you know, does everyone experience it? No, not everybody gets through it. Some people just go past, or they it comes in a different form. But there's a difference between a crisis, a transition, and a wake up call. So, what is it for you? Is it actually a crisis, or is it a midlife transition? Or is it a midlife wake-up call? It could be positive. It doesn't have to be negative, because we look at the stereotype and we think somebody's going to midlife crisis. They're kind of 45 or 50 years old and they need a sports car and a 23-year-old girlfriend on their arm. That's the stereotype.
And a Harley Davidson.
And a Harley Davidson.
Which on its own is a crisis.
Well, that is a crisis for those people like you who are purists and do not like the Harley Davidson motorbike or anybody associated with them. Okay, no. Yeah, sure. So it's a motorbike, the young girlfriend, and the sports car, whatever it is, and affairs and all kinds of divorces.
No, you've got to qualify this. A motorbike or a Harley Davidson.
People, here we go.
You need to clarify. Okay, I'm just putting in your.
No, I know you're. I know.
Okay,
I know.
Carry on.
Don't mention Harley Davidson in front of Richard the Unicorn, because then he gets upset and that unicorn starts getting bigger. So, yeah. Okay. So, depends on the scope and timing. Your midlife crisis might look different from those from yours to others, but you may experience some of the following symptoms or signs. So I thought it might be interesting to have a look at that. Okay. So recognizing them and their impact can help you kind of address the underlying causes or what it creates sooner than later. Okay. So here we go. Fluctuations in weight. So you're either losing weight or you're gaining weight without actually trying. That could be a symptom of it. Feeling self-doubt or failure or disappointment in yourself. Dramatic swings in mood without cause. Distancing yourself from your spouse or your long-term partner, drifting away or in estrangement from kids or loved ones. You sort of kind of get more distance from them. Frustration or unwillingness to deal with change. Now, change is stress. So when you do a change management course, you're doing a stress management course. And so maybe there's a frustration or unwillingness to deal with it, and you get a bit grumpy maybe. Boredom or dissatisfaction with your stage of life. So you might feel that you are getting bored of what you're doing now, and you've been a doctor or you've been somewhere, you're not really stimulated by what you're doing anymore. That could be it. You could have a business that's boring you or pressurizing you. A sense of nostalgia or idealizing the past, dealing with regrets over choices you've made. That's probably a big one there that can trigger this kind of thing as well. Changes in your sexual desire, including frequency, intensity, or attraction. Rash and indulgent behavior. Stupid behavior, going out, doing all kinds of weird things, drinking too much orange juice on a Friday.
Or buying a Harley Davidson.
Or buying a Harley Davidson and then drinking too much orange juice. Yeah. Withdrawing from activities or groups once you once enjoyed. So you might have enjoyed tennis or you might have bowls or whatever, and now you just don't like doing that anymore. So one goes through six major stages when handling a midlife crisis as well. There's a denial stage. There's an anger stage. There's a replay stage, depression, withdrawal, and acceptance. And this is one thing about a midlife crisis that is actually quite important to understand. It can go further and can get deeper than just, I'm sort of upset and I'm a bit bored. It can go into a full-on depression. So people need to be aware of that and be careful not to sort of, poo-poo it in a way and say, nothing, he's just going through a midlife crisis, leave him alone. It could be quite a serious thing. Okay, so there is psychology behind the crisis. Okay, there's an impact of existential awareness. Is this all it is? Is this what I go to work in the morning, I work, I come home, I eat, I watch a bit of television, I go sleep, and that's it. Is this it? Is this what my life's all about? I need some excitement in my life. There can be cognitive shifts as well, evaluating your purpose. Am I really a success? And there can be some regrets as well that you didn't do certain things or you didn't make certain decisions or you didn't travel to certain places or go and move to somewhere in Spain or something to go and start a business that you were offered. There might be regrets about that. Men and women tend to experience different midlife crises. I mean, the stereotype with a man going off with a younger woman, the woman goes, maybe wants to be a cougar and wants a younger man, that kind of stuff. It's all quite normal. Men look at career, really. They reevaluate that. They look at their legacy. What am I leaving behind? They have performance anxiety, perhaps, physically. And women look at identity shifts post-childbearing, of course, and menopause comes into it as well, rediscovering oneself and possibly, sort of shifting into something after a major event like a divorce or something like that as well. Society has expectations and their impact on that. Midlife can also trigger things. So triggers that will hit you. Could be a 40th or a 50th birthday. So you might think, oh my goodness, I'm 40 years old. That's it. I'm out of here. I'm done. I've done nothing with my life. Or 50. 50 is a milestone as well. 60 is another one where 55 is fine or 56 is fine. But when you hit 60, I've got 20 good years left, And another trigger could be a death of a parent or the kids leaving home. We've spoken about that before, that empty nest syndrome thing. Health scares, you might have had a heart attack or a chronic illness, and that's coming up a lot lately. The stats for cancer and those kind of things are increasing. So it used to be 1 in 6, it's now 1 in 4. And when that hits you, oh my word, the health is a big issue. A job loss or a redundancy or reaching the top and still feeling empty. You know, you might be an executive and have a company, and you might still feel kind of nothingness, you know, feel empty about stuff. There's a program in America where executives and billionaires and millionaires, you know, they build their money, and then they get put into, for a week, they go into a place where they go and find people that they can help. And some of them come out of that saying it's the best thing they've ever done in their whole life. Their whole business, brilliant, money, cars, house, holiday homes, travel overseas. But that was the best thing they ever did, was to be, you know, going out helping other people that are less fortunate. And so how it shows up in real life: sudden lifestyle changes, new relationships, quitting your job, extreme makeovers. All of a sudden you stop putting weird clothes on. It could be an emotional withdrawal or acting out. You could be upset. Is it always negative? No, it's not. You could have the midlife rebirth and the midlife awakening instead of the crisis. And that's quite cool, because people can reinvent themselves. They can, after 40, they can start second careers. They can write a book. They can start businesses, and they can go back to school and do a degree perhaps or something. And it's actually could be a time of empowerment. So it's not only a negative thing. So I want to slant it towards the positive stuff. If you're feeling any of this thing, if you're listening and you're feeling some of this stuff, this boredom, it could be a time of empowerment. So don't panic about it. Just chill and realize, well, maybe this is the universe trying to tell me something. Okay. And coping mechanisms, therapy is good. A life coach is good. Breaking shame or guilt from this thing. Find connection and purpose through groups and or faith, your church, or service to the community. There could be creativity that could come into your life, like art or finding a new skill. Traveling is a huge one. You know, if you haven't traveled for a while, it is one of the most wonderful things. And in my coaching over the years, many, many years of coaching, one thing people love doing, and one of the goals that they always set to themselves, is to travel and to see places and go to Thailand or go to Bali and just travel. Travel is a big, nice goal that you can maybe use to get you through this thing. And, you know, how relationships are definitely affected when you're going through a midlife crisis. So talk to your partner, you know, try and let them understand what you're going through, how you're feeling, and grow together in this crisis as well. And I think that's very important, that you can grow together as well.
Well, on that note, I've just got a WhatsApp coming from Fred. Thank goodness I'm past that stage. He says he's 77 years old.
Go, Fred.
With a big thumbs up. And he says he's been there, thank goodness, for a supportive wife.
There you go. You see, talk to each other. Explain how you're feeling. Don't hide the feelings, you know. It's like in any good relationship, you share, you communicate, and your partner should be understanding of your situation, whatever the situation. It doesn't have to only be this. So, like a Fred, you know what, you can teach people how to get through it. And you and your missus, fantastic. Well done. And, you know, there is a danger of seeking validation outside a long-term commitment. So you're looking for other people to listen to you, and your partner should be listening to you. Absolutely, 100%. If your partner's in trouble, you know, you've got to be there. Absolutely. So spirituality might come in, and you might be looking for meaning. So you might look for deeper questions in life, looking for a deeper meaning. Is this all there is, or is there more? Is there life after death? And all this kind of stuff might come across. And also, here's a big one. I think later, sort of like 55, 60, your search for peace becomes more important than your productivity. So, you know, you kind of get to, I think I've got to that stage, actually, being over 60, right in the middle between 60 and 70. I think my search for peace and harmony has become very important to me, actually. So you could do journaling, you could do retreats, you could do meditation, you could do projects, and not only going to retreats, but why not doing retreats for people? If you've got a skill that you have, you know, team up with somebody and go and do a breakaway as well. And I go through a lot of counseling with people, even colleagues, that end up being in my industry for many years. So they start at 30 and they're 65 and they kind of had it. They're done, they're bored, they do the same thing every day and they want to do something different. And sometimes it's not a good idea at 65 to kind of change your whole thing and give up your business or give up your lifestyle, as it were, and do something else. Maybe there's a compromise between it. Take a bit of time off, do a sabbatical, take 3 months off, whatever you're doing, and go away and do it again. So I want to give some ways of to transform through a midlife crisis, an end of on how to get through this thing if you are going through it. Okay, so reflect on your values. You know, step back and assess what truly matters to you. I think that's quite a nice thing. You might practice mindfulness or meditation. Quiet introspection is good, and even seek guidance from a life coach. I don't think you need a therapist as such, but a life coach is always a good person to go and sit with and give you some kind of idea of realigning yourself, perhaps, and giving you more choices in life. Focus on self-improvement. Find your passion. You know, if you like traveling or 4x4ing or biking or jumping out of an airplane or whatever it is, develop a new skill. I know, Richard, you are a huge part of a lot of us old guys finding a new skill and having a, you know, coming to a studio and doing something like what we do. You know, it's a great way to find. I know that the professor John feels the same. He loves his time here in the studio. I love my time in the studio. It's a new skill. It's a challenge, and it's something new that you can do while having your career, even though the career might be a little bit staid and that kind of stuff. So set your sights on fresh goals. You know, set some goals for yourself. Make sure that you evaluate those goals and make good decisions when making them. Don't just drop things that are with you and that are your stalwarts. It might be good to just step back and work on your life and not in your life when you do this kind of stuff. And we'll say that again, work on your life. In other words, strategize. Don't work in it and make silly decisions later in your life as well, or in the middle of this crisis, as it were. Nurture your relationships. Your relationships become very important. Your friendships, your wife, your kids. Friendships at midlife don't offer just companionship, but a chance for rediscovery. So you've got people that care about you, and you can talk to them about stuff and try things. You know, join clubs and start playing darts, and you know, a new thing doesn't have to be bingo, where you're the end of your life and you're sitting in this hall playing bingo. You know, it doesn't have to be that. Practice self-compassion and forgiveness. Forgiveness is not for the other person. Forgiveness is for you. And, you know, self-compassion, look after yourself. You know, don't be so hard on yourself. You know, allow yourself to heal, and self-acceptance is very important as well. Contextualize nostalgia and regret. It is important that we acknowledge that stuff happens in life and we go through things, and we've made choices and decisions. Do not knock yourself for making those mistakes. We all make mistakes. And when dealing with regret, keep in mind that some possibilities are better left in the past. You know, don't worry about it. Don't bring it into the future. Work for today, and today will be your future. Don't worry about the past. It's a whole big thing about the rearview mirror and the windscreen. You know, you look at it every now and so often, look in the rearview mirror. Of course, you need to, the side mirrors. But your future is in the windscreen, and it's the big one that you need to look through. Where you're going. Find support for your life change. If you've got a great partner, that's fantastic. Or find somebody or like-minded people that can go with you on a journey. You know, can start a business with you or do something exciting. Maybe coach people or counsel people that you've got experience with things. That might be a great thing. So here's a few questions that I need to ask. What changed for you at 40 and 50? What changed? If you listening to the program, ask yourself, is it 40 that was the year, or is it 50 that was the year? What year was it that stuff changed all of a sudden? And what advice would you give your younger self? What advice would you give your younger self? And what would you do today if you weren't afraid? So some of the stuff I ask on my training seminars is, what is the one thing you've always wanted to do, but you've never done? And that always is a passion and something that you could do and make it into a goal that that you could put your teeth into and start doing it. But a warning is, don't leave everything behind and throw everything away because you're bored and upset and you've had enough of that. It could be that you're just tired, a little bit overwhelmed of the things, and just park it for a while maybe. Don't give it all up if it's a valuable thing. And that's pretty much it, I think, Rich. And this is anything you want to add there, because, you know, we all go through the stuff. It's good to have mates you can talk to. It's good to have people you can talk to. But it's good to make the right decision. So working on it is better than working in it.
Fred's just added a comment here. He says, just to add that you're never too old to do something that will stimulate the mind. You don't, yeah, growth doesn't have to be restricted to a midlife crisis. Growth can come at any point. It can come at 16. It can come at 67. And he's right. You're never too old to, I remember my father was 83 years old when he first learned how to use a computer.
Oh, wow.
And then it was his iPad, and then it was, he was a master of the cell phone.
Wow.
And, you know, the king of Facebook. I mean, it was like at 83, for the first time, he discovered those things. He'd passed away. He was 93 years old with a mind as sharp as a razor. It was his body that packed up, not his mind. But the point of, you know, I look back at my own life and I look back at my father's life. I can't really say that my father went through a midlife crisis, because sometimes there are people who have, in my father's case, too much logic.
Mm.
He was not impulsive, and impulsive people are more susceptible to falling into what the traps are of a midlife crisis.
That's true.
And what you have focused on is things outside of the obvious signs, the what I would call the window dressing of a midlife crisis. Not everybody goes off and finds a 18-year-old blonde lady, grows their hair, ties it in a ponytail, starts wearing tie-dye T-shirts and sandals. Look, that itself is a crisis, but goes out there and does, you know, gets a hot rod or something like that.
Yeah.
So not everybody does that. But yet that doesn't mean to say that they're not experiencing the other aspects of midlife crisis.
Quite
the self-doubt, the feeling that I haven't achieved, I'm at the top of my profession and I feel empty. That doesn't always sort of manifest in going out there and making that radical visible change. And I think that's where the danger really lies. Because if you've got the visible change, you know what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
It's when those things exist, but they hold within. That's where there's a danger, I think.
Well, that's where frustration comes up.
Yeah.
And you know, what is anger? Anger is fear and frustration. So then you get angry. You know, we were talking about it the other day and saying, when you get older, do you get grumpy or do you become a nice person? It depends on your psyche, and it also depends on how stimulated you are about life and your choices that you make. Choices and decisions you've made in your life, if they affect you, if you handle them and say, look, I made those decisions at 30 and 35, that's fine. I'm now 45. I've been through, my kids are sort of kind of getting out of school now. I've done the bond thing. I've been through the sort of like, oh my goodness, am I ever going to get out of this? And I'm getting to a stage now where, did I make the right decision? Was I with the right person? Could I have been something else? What legacy am I leaving? What am I doing? And it comes across as well sometimes when there's a lot of the time when there's a health issue.
Mm.
And that can happen at any age.
Yeah, again, that could also be a trigger.
Yeah.
That could also be a trigger. Jan says, communicate with your spouse. They know you and hopefully love you enough to work through it. Agree and disagree, because not always is a spouse involved.
Well, if you keep it to yourself, they're not.
Well, if you haven't got a spouse, let's say that you are, you know, my dad was not married when he was older.
Right.
He didn't have a spouse. Yeah. So you may have had a spouse and no longer have one.
Yeah.
You could still experience midlife crisis. But there it's important that you then, because you're not going to recognize it within yourself. You're going to just start to feel these changes, feel this discontent, feel this kind of same old.
But that's why I wanted to highlight this today, because you might be going through stuff that you don't realize. I want to put a positive slant on this, that you can nip it in the bud and say, I'm not going to be negatively nailed by this thing. I'm going to look positively. Yes, I am feeling bored. Yes, I am feeling I haven't done anything in my life that I feel is great. I mean, you might have had kids, you know, and that's probably the biggest thing that you could ever have done for the world is have your children, and they are wonderful and they make you happy. You know, there's always a positive to look at a positive. So I wanted to make this a positive thing, and I wanted to make it for people that don't realize that they might be just going through this midlife crisis thing. It's not only a crisis. The point here is it could be a revaluation. It could be a
I actually don't really like the term crisis.
Yes,
I think crisis gives it a label that really
a wrong
is
label,
not.
Yeah, is it? I mean, the guy who started Kentucky Fried Chicken, right? He was how old is he? 65?
No, he was way older. He was close to 80 when he started this job.
Oh, well, that's the colonel, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there are people like that that'll just change your dad. Mm-hmm. Became computer literate instead of throwing it up and saying, oh, well, this newfangled stuff, I can't do this. I can't do it. He climbed into it and he became really, really good at it.
I also think, Jeff, at some level that, you know, we do laugh and we do joke about the guy that goes out there, grows his hair.
And judges him.
And then we think, he's just going through it. There's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, that's another thing. Maybe that's another avenue that he wants to explore himself that he never was able to.
Absolutely. It's an expression of how he feels. Yeah. And he should be entitled to do that without any level of judgment. In the same way that somebody who's going through this, internalizing it, and ends up carrying an illness because of it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Needs support as well. I think that the levels of support for somebody going through this change of life, for want of a better word, it's important for them to understand where they're at and understand it for what it is the sense that I'm getting. If you understand what it is that you're going through and why we're having a conversation like this, understand where you're at and where you're going with this thing. It's much easier to cope with and deal with.
Yeah, it is. And as long as you don't hurt other people along the way as
Correct.
Well, that's one of the things.
But that is a possibility.
Yes. So evaluate that. So that's why I work on it and not in it. Because if you're in it, you make these decisions quickly. And you just go and you just do things and you don't think about the consequences of it, really. But when you work on it, you're strategizing it, and you've got time to think it through and say, well, if I want to grow a ponytail and I want to get a Suzuki and I want to go on Route 66 in America, who am I hurting with this? Actually, nobody. I'm going to take my missus with me.
Yeah.
Good decision.
Yeah.
You know, but if I want to get out, I want to get this young blonde, and I want to get the bike and the car, and I want to go and live on the coast in Italy. Who am I hurting? I'm leaving my 16, 17 year old kids alone. I'm getting divorced. That's something you need to evaluate as well. And that's kind of where we're going. But it's a good thing. Or you know. I would say 60-70%. It's a time that triggers you to reevaluate and do something exciting in your life again, and it's not a bad thing.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, is that it?
That's it for today.
Well, I tell you what. Look, a midlife life crisis does often impact on other people, and yours has impacted on me. Because now I have to sit and, you know, deal with you here at Zone Radio.
I'm just saying.
I come
in once a week and once every 2 weeks, and I don't push it.
Okay,
well, we'll get you something to drink and you can lie down a little bit after this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, I'm having to deal with your midlife crisis.
Just work on it and not in it.
Yeah, please.
All right, Jeff.
Thank you. Okay. Thanks, everybody, and have a good afternoon. And,
I swear people listen to this podcast think these folks don't like each other at all.
They hate each other.
Yeah, and you know what? You'd be right.
Absolutely. I'm out of here because I can't stand this guy anymore. Cheers, everybody. All right, thanks, Jeff. So much.
Take care.
Cheers up.
Bye.
Bye.